Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Jack Smith Happy Hour National Sexy Edition. Welcome to it. We got Dominic.
We got Maggie Dunn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our legal eagle and host of the Maggie Dunn Show. I almost called it by the old name. We're here in the Shaw. When I heard Maggie Dunn was coming in studio, working on a Friday, just to cover this big indictment, I got in the car and I said, I'm partying with those cowboys. I am very, very excited. And Maggie Dunn, Dom and I, being the fine newsmen that we were, reported in hour number one, the 38-count indictment. And I see the media is widely reporting 37 counts. And I thought I heard you say something about 37 counts, but correct the record, if you would, please, for us, Maggie. How many counts of this big indictment against the former president?
Yeah, there's 38. It's interesting, the documents laid out really interestingly, because at the
you
end...
You have cross tabs.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is tabbed. I could take, if you're watching us, I could take a law school exam on this puppy right now. Yeah, the count 37, it cuts off at the end of the page, and then there's all this blank space, and I think people just stopped page turning. But if you do, on page 42 of the PDF, indeed it says count 38 at the top.
False statements and representation.
That's exactly right.
Well, thankfully, the devil's advocates caught it first.
Sure did. Cheating off the homework, guys.
You know, always, Maggie, always.
You imply that we even started doing the homework. I didn't even print off the indictment. You got cross tabs and notes and highlighter. So, Maggie, before we really jump into the heart of this matter, we do have the special counselor. And I mean, A, can I just say publicly, I've never seen the man smile. He is badass. This guy just looks like the kind of guy I want prosecuting this case. And B, I've never heard his voice. So let's do so. I believe we've got this. Ebone, going to need your help. Let's play the special counselor. Cut number one.
Our laws that protect national defense information are critical to the safety and security of the United States, and they must be enforced. Violations of those laws put our country at risk.
A little too plain spoken. I wish he had a menacing vigilante tone.
No, man. That's exactly what we want. Because, of course, Republicans are going to say he's menacing anyway. A little more Jack Smith today. Historic. It's Jack Smith Day. Cut to, please, Evan.
Today, an indictment was unsealed, charging Donald J. Trump with felony violations of our national security laws, as well as participating in a conspiracy to obstruct justice.
I mean, the wording here is really interesting. First of all, he just calls him Donald J. Trump. Does not call him former President right. Donald J. Trump. This is a man that's going to be prosecuted. And he doesn't say some weird legal easy term about exactly, these National Archives documents. No, he just says, for violating our national securities laws. This is not a case about documents. This is a case about a man whom we've all known from day one only cares about himself, literally engaging in an intentional, multi-week decision-making tree that and then like asked his body man basically to move the documents and then lied about it repeatedly. And it's on tape. He knew exactly what he had.
You act like that's crazy. Problematic.
Right? What?
Like that'll get you indicted 38 times over.
Let's hear more. Jack Smith. Who was he indicted by? Joe Biden, if you ask the Republicans. No, 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 says Jack Smith. Cut three, please.
This indictment was voted by a grand jury of citizens in the Southern District of Florida. And I invite everyone to read it in full to understand the scope and the gravity of the crimes charged.
I didn't hear President Biden in there at all.
Yeah, special counselor. Huh? I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. We have not read the indictment, but we got Maggie. Maggie Dawn, our legal eagle. She's read the indictment. She's got cross tabs. A couple more from the special counselor, Jack Smith. He is innocent until proven guilty. Cut four.
Very important for me to note that the defendants in this case must be presumed innocent until proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law.
Yeah, but as a private citizen, I can assume the worst, can I not, Maggie?
And what is the percentage of these kinds of cases brought by a federal prosecutor that end up not being convictions or pleads?
It's got to be very small. You just don't engage a prosecution like this with these stakes without knowing that you've got this in the bag. And I think the indictment you were talking about, his demeanor, right? I wrote on the top of it, like literally the very first thing that I wrote on this entire document was very no nonsense.
Yeah.
Right. It was just, you read this and it almost makes it boring, right? Like this is, you know, the stuff that a John le Carré novel was based on, and it's happening. Like this happened, and here's Jack Smith. It's like, and on Tuesday, April 12th, you know, it's just so Sergeant Friday.
So very businesslike. One more from Jack Smith on Jack Smith Day. Cut number five, please, Evan.
We have one set of laws in this country, and they apply to everyone. Applying those laws, collecting facts, that's what determines the outcome of an investigation. Nothing more and nothing less.
Nothing more, nothing less. Maggie, he also didn't just indict the former president. He also indicted Walt. So, but Walt is not the former president. Walt's what? The valet.
The pool boy?
The valet.
The bag man, right?
Get my galoshes.
But isn't that kind of telling? Here's a, you know, low level, whoever Walt is, also being charged at the same time as the former president.
I just have to say, you strip all of the partisanship out of this for a second and you look at this. Forget that it was Donald Trump. What if it was just Walt? Right? And what if it was Hillary Clinton's valet?
Right.
Right? Not only would Walt be charged, so would Hillary Clinton. And everyone would be calling for her execution.
Lock her up! Lock her up!
So this is pretty extraordinary that there was a decision to not just indict the president, but also to indict the everyman, like the guy that just did his job. It's like, sure, I'll show up with like a shovel and a bag of lye and a tarp or two. What body? Like,
what, I never dug a hole?
Right. I just dug a hole. Trunk. Right. I mean, so, and the facts as to Mr. Nuuta are quite compelling in the indictment as well. I mean, there's no question that they understood exactly what was going on. So in case you miss it, I don't want to forget to say this. Basically, they took 60 boxes from Mar-a-Lago to the house, and they only brought 34 back. Right? Like, that's it. Like, it's like very dry, and it's just sort of in these four paragraphs. But it's like, yep, 64 boxes went from Mar-a-Lago to the Trump residence, and only 30 came back. And the interesting thing is he's only charged with 31 counts of retention, right? But 31 counts of the stuff that they're talking about here sure doesn't sound like 36 or 26 boxes of documents. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's this unspoken math that's in there. That there was a lot.
Speak it for us, because we're not doing the math with you.
Right? That there was a volume of boxes that were never returned and that no one knows where they are. And yet they only identify 31 specific instances of retention. My implication is that they're saying there may very well have been distribution of these materials. They may be gone, and we do not know where they are.
Oh.
So they didn't charge distribution because they don't know.
Correct. It was not dissemination is technically the word, but dissemination means distribution of these national secrets, right?
Maggie Dawn, you were on the air on the Maggie Dawn show last night, and my phone started blowing up, and I, like many others, went immediately to you on the radio. And sister, you were laying it down. A, you were killing it. Great radio. Obviously, the subject matter helps, but the expertise of the hostess was great, and I really enjoyed the commentary you gave. I told poor Joel Clayfish last night, he had his Raised in the Wisco show, and it was his birthday.
Oh,
and he's sitting
birthday,
right
Joel.
Here in the Waukesha studios. Yeah. And he was very proud of the radio he made. He had his daughters in here. He had former Lieutenant Governor, his wife, Rebecca Clayfish, making faces at him in the window.
Oh, that's fun.
And he said, Crudy, did you hear it? It was so much fun. I said, no, Joel. The former president got indicted. I flipped on MSNBC, fella, and I watched for hours and hours and hours. And it was just other legal opinions. But they all seemingly arrived at the very same conclusion. Trump's goose is cooked.
It's bad. I mean, let me describe the documents, okay? So
she's starting to cross tab 17 here.
For real.
For those
for real.
Keeping score at home.
Yeah. Here's what. So they defined the security classifications, and they describe general subject matter of the documents. But they never tell you what country they're talking about. It's always generically as to a foreign country. But here's what.
We used to call them Persians.
Right. Various foreign countries briefings related to. And here we go. Document dated June 2020 concerning nuclear capabilities of a foreign country. Document dated October 21, 2018 concerning communication with leader of a foreign country. And then it's got dates and military capabilities of a foreign country. Plans regarding military attacks by a foreign country. It's all military contingency planning. Document concerning projected regional military capabilities of a foreign country and the United States. This is what this man withheld. There's 31 documents. There's a whole lot of boxes. We don't know where they are, folks. This man has been a national security threat since the moment he announced his presidency on the golden escalator. Wow.
I know. We should call this edition Mission Accomplished. Jack Smith, it's all up to you and Maggie Dawn and you to keep listening. Come back, more Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Maggie Dawn, our pal, sticking around for the entire hour. We'll take your calls as well, 844-967-2789. Okay, go ahead, Crudy.
Well, I just want to confess, it is a little personal with Trump.
Is it?
It's a little. A little.
It's not personal. I mean, I have nothing personally against the man, whatever, but his actions.
Oh, come on. His whole existence is offensive.
Sure. Yes, but, I mean, so?
There's I can't take people. That personally.
I mean, you can, but then you can take a lot of things personally. I don't take it too personally.
I'm confessing for me and Maggie, we're rooting against the guy.
Oh, I am as well. Here's a little bit from the indictment from Jack Smith. After his presidency, Trump retained classified documents originated by or implicating the equities of multiple USIC, those are intelligence agencies, members or other executive branch departments and agencies, including... So here's some of the docs he kept from these agencies. Here's like documents kept from the CIA, the Department of Defense, the National Security Agency. He kept documents from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's the UFO people.
The National Reconnaissance Office, the Department of Energy. He kept documents from the Department of State and the Bureau of Intelligence and Research. He kept all lots of things. And as mentioned, Maggie, the retention we know, the dissemination we don't know. Apparently, there could be boxes, should be maybe boxes, of stuff that's gone to the wind.
Yeah, the math doesn't add up. Here's one of this is document 16, dated December 2019, concerning foreign country support of terrorist acts against U.S. interests. I mean, you know, just some light Sunday evening reading. Undated document concerning nuclear weaponry of the United States.
No one knows the horrors of nuclear better than I. Now, Donald Trump is a moron. So what is he doing with nuclear secrets after he's no longer the president, after he's been asked by the government to return them nicely many times, after they sent a subpoena, after they searched his residence?
And here's the thing. What the indictment lays out in this painstaking detail with text messages is that Donald Trump was the one deciding which boxes stayed and which boxes went.
Oh.
Like there's literally a moment where you're reading it and you can see in your mind's eye the great orange man's sitting on the ground, like rifling through a box between his legs because he wouldn't let anybody else do it. Like, it's very specific. Let me see if I can find. Oh, so there's a scene described where it's like days to when Corcoran is going to show up to go through the documents.
Right. Okay. Right? His attorney.
Right. And his attorney has told him, like, no one else can do this. I am the only one that can do this. We have to swear out a sworn certification saying that we gave the government back all of the documents. So it's very clear that Trump knows that Corcoran himself is going to go through these documents. And so it's two of his lackeys, including this Nahuda,
Walt,
texting back and forth, right? And the other one asks Walt, hey, can you get some fresh box lids up here, stat?
I need some box lids, stat!
Because POTUS is concerned that the ones that they have too much writing on them.
Yes, it's top secret. Do not touch, like, for your eyes only. Like,
Don't give back to the FBI, right? Like, I can just picture, yeah, they had too much writing on them. Like, that detail to me was just so telling, right? And then they describe at one point where this Nahuda is asked to move boxes onto the airplane that's waiting to fly from Mar-a-Lago to Bedminster. And then the indictment goes on to point out that Trump delayed going to Bedminster so that he could supervise Corcoran as he went through the documents.
Why? And there's also some texting back and forth between Walt and one of the Trump family members regarding that trip. It was like Memorial Day of last year.
Yes, it's clearly the missus.
The missus, yes, ma'am. He says ma'am.
Yes,
so,
it's clearly the missus.
So the question is, why would Donald Trump be unpacking, like taking them out of the boxes, according to the text stream, that he would take them out of the boxes and take the documents with him? I mean, this is not his
when his
security
lawyer is
blanket.
About to get there to go through all of the documents to give the federal government the top secret documents back. Like, there's just no denying precisely what went on here. And that is, Donald Trump asked his, you know, faithful manservant to hide top secret documents about the U.S. potentially being in nuclear war.
Yeah, that's
with
really
some of our most dangerous enemies.
That's the valuable stuff.
Yeah. And like hid that stuff from the federal government.
How did I get totally blocked out of this conversation?
You started spacing out.
I'm going to talk to Data in La Crosse listening on the Eagle 1490 AM. Data, welcome to the political party. Happy Jack Smith Day.
Hey, Dana.
Happy Jack Smith Day, indeed. How y'all doing?
Good.
Really good.
Fair to middling or
good,
better.
Good. Hey, I kind of got a question for Maggie, if she knows. So regarding all these missing documents that obviously I think we probably have a pretty good idea of what might have happened. But what can we do about finding out what happened with those? I mean, do you foresee them possibly making a deal with him to, you know, just tell us where everything is?
Do we need the documents back that badly enough to give up some of the future prison time for the former?
I don't know if they know what it is, right?
Or worse.
I object.
He's what, not you your quiet counselor.
You don't know what you don't know, right? Like, and somebody was talking about, like, don't they have a log of who takes stuff? Like, Yes, but no, that's not really how this stuff works. Like, it's in hard copy. There's just a volume of this stuff that moves through a White House in a day is just crushing.
Dana, sorry, won't see you at the big RPW convention. I think we're being discriminated against. See, the Republicans sent back our check.
For real?
For realsies. 100. Come back, stick around.
Chickens.
More with Maggie Dawn and perhaps you. 844-96-PARTY.
The winners. Winners get to do what they want. What you gonna do? What you gonna
do when they come for you? Right, DJ. Right away.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Freedom isn't free. It calls folks like you.
I wonder how Joe's taking it. Joe Giganti, my guest last Friday. Mediocre Joe, I mean regular Joe. I wonder how he's taking the news that the man that he believes quite a bit in is under indictment. 38 counts, according to the Devil's Advocates math.
Stop.
We got to find guests. She's pretty good at math as well. She's Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counselor by day. Super cool radio host right here on Civic Media by late afternoon, 6 to 7 p.m.
That's night.
But normally not Fridays. But you made a special trip down to the Waukesha studio.
You,
I'm here, Dom's here, and Maggie Dawn's here. It is a Friday political party for Jack Smith. Celebrating Jack Smith Day, you can still join us. Join this party, 844-967-2789. Before we get into the meat and potatoes of the indictment I have not read, let me ask you, politically speaking, in your opinion, Maggie Dawn, does this hurt the former president? And I don't mean in the general. I mean with the base. I have a weird hunch that this could actually strengthen him with the MAGA base.
Oh, that was my first thought, right? Immediately, I went, okay, well, he's going to fundraise a bunch off of this, right? And keep in mind, one of the criminal investigations into him is basically the lie that he told about the election was effectively mail fraud, yes, right? For all intents and purposes.
Hundreds of millions of dollars raised, yes.
So here we go again, dear friends, because of course this is going to galvanize his base. Like that's why you see all the 2024 presidential candidates. I went and pulled some of their quotes from today, are just all over the place in how to react to this.
Ooh,
right?
Do you have a few examples for us?
Yeah.
Wait. I want to hear from Tiny D, Ron DeSantis. Oh. Not a guy that celebrates National Sex Day, I understand, you know.
As long as his wife says thigh, right? Ron DeSantis said that the litmus test for finding his spouse was that they'd go to a Thai restaurant and he'd refer to it as Thai food. And if they corrected him, they were done. That's how he selected his mate.
Wow, he's digging deep, isn't he?
Really,
very,
truly.
Very complex man.
So Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
I'm not a thigh man.
Right. Ron DeSantis of Florida and Vivek Ramaswamy, a wealthy entrepreneur and author, came out strongly in support of Mr. Trump on Thursday, while a former governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson, was far more critical, calling for Trump to leave the race. Chris Christie basically called on Americans to withhold judgment until the facts are known. Pence, who's shown some movement in his stance, his willingness to criticize
movement to criticize
the president, said he was withholding his own conclusions while trying to put the onus on the attorney general, Merrick Garland, to silence those in the Republican Party who believe the charges are political and without merit.
Come on, the fly on his head has shown more movement.
Right? Quote, you need to stand up and explain to us why this was necessary before the sun sets today, Mr. Pence said in New Hampshire, addressing Mr. Garland. Quote, the American people deserve to know the basis of this unprecedented action. Like, yeah, that's the indictment. Did you read it, Mike?
Right.
I did. It's kind of important. Take a minute, Mike. Page through it. Peruse the evidence that is presented therein before you call something like this unprecedented. Because, in fact, it's not. And that's sort of the point, isn't it? That people get prosecuted for this stuff all the time. If you believe Edward Snowden is a criminal and treasonous at that, then you have to you have to indict and convict Donald Trump. It's the same thing. If you think Chelsea Manning was a traitor, then so is Donald Trump. But not just a traitor in that perhaps one can make an argument that those two individuals acted in some sort of misguided sense of obligation of transparency.
Or greater good of some
Correct.
Sort, right.
You can't make that argument here. He knew what he was doing. They have him on tape saying so. And here's one of the interesting things in the indictment. I would call it the only bit of the indictment that is at all a little bit Jack Smith going, nah, 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 I've got you. It's the two little pieces of rhetorical flourish, because you could have written this without them. And he includes in two places Trump, in his own words, condemning those who play fast and loose with classified information. Right? So he's calling him a
hypocrite.
Using
his words against him.
Indeed.
Well, he indicted him 38 times over, according to our math, Maggie. So he's also calling him a criminal.
Yes. Here's some of the statements that Jack Smith included in the indictment. So this is Trump saying these things. In my administration,
Can
I'm going to...
Can you do the Trump voice?
No, because that's dumb. In my administration, I'm going to enforce all the laws concerning the protection of classified information. No one will be above the law. Quote, we also need to fight this battle by collecting intelligence and then protecting our classified interests. We can't have someone in the Oval Office who doesn't understand the meaning of the word confidential or classified. That is Donald Trump on September 6, 2016. On September 7th, 16.
That doesn't even sound like him. It sounds way
no,
too
it's
coherent.
It's too cogent. Right. Quote, one of the first things we must do is enforce all classification rules and to enforce all laws relating to the handling of classified information.
Well, if that's the case, Jack Smith is just doing exactly what Donald Trump
correct.
Wanted him to do. Okay.
Correct. I mean, what? That's just, he's pointing out that this guy is completely hypocritical. Here's this. On February 16th, 2017, 4 years before Trump's disclosures of classified information set forth above, this is paragraph 36, Trump said at a press conference, quote, the first thing I thought of when I heard about this was, how does the press get this information that's classified? How do they do it? You know why? Because it's an illegal process. And the press should be ashamed of themselves. But more importantly, the people that gave out the information to the press should be ashamed of themselves. Really ashamed. The two scenarios that the president is charged with, that Jack Smith is saying we have direct evidence of, is not just evidence that he retained the information because he had it, right? And his lawyers had to turn it over. But it's where Trump is on tape or by his lawyer's own notes showing classified information to who? The press. Okay? Those are the two instances.
Well, it's not against the law to be a hypocrite, maybe Dawn, right? So why does Jack Smith put these in here?
Because it shows that he was so cavalier that it wasn't to someone in his innermost circle. Which one must assume happened all the time.
Right. It wasn't locker room talk per se. This was his common thread.
Yes, it was with someone to whom he has vowed his entire life to take down, a member of that liberal elite media. That's who he showed this stuff to. And it's on tape, and he was knowingly being recorded. So the man is a national walking security threat. Remember one of the first meetings he ever took in the Oval Office?
The Sergis.
Yes. He gave up classified information on videotape to ambassadors to Russia.
I forget. Was that before or after he fired Comey to relieve the Russia pressure?
Folks, right? You're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn joining us. You can join us 844-967-2789, specifically to former Vice President Mike Pence. Yes, this is extraordinary, but we heard the press conference. Donald Trump broke national security laws, and all you Republicans out there, all you patriots, right? Country first, MAGA. If you're MAGA and you find out someone's breaking national security laws, how do you reconcile that with your beliefs? And of course, the conspiracy to obstruct justice. I mean, that's every day for Donald Trump. He doesn't know how to do it any other way. And here's a little bit. Then we'll get to the callers. Once again, 844-967-2789. Page 21. On May 23rd of 2022, Trump met with attorney number one and two at the Mar-a-Lago to discuss the response of the May 11th subpoena.
They can't name them because they might also be criminally indicted at this point, right?
The
former counsel?
Corcoran's.
We know that attorney number one is Corcoran. This is the guy that made the detailed notes that he recorded and that we know has been presented in front of the grand jury.
And as a side note, his two other lawyers also quit today or were replaced or with a law firm to be named in the future.
Yes. So actually heard someone who was doing media commentary say, I actually feel a little bit sad for the president today because he had to issue a statement saying that he's going to hire some Cracker Jack lawyers just as soon as he figures out who they are.
I hear Wee Cheatham and Howell. It's in the phone book, and they're taking new clients right now.
It's Dewey Cheatham and
Howell.
Get the joke right, Mike. Jeez.
Trump attorney
one. You know how I like being corrected on the air,
especially
right?
Especially on the jokes. And Trump attorney two.
Or any other topic.
The attorneys told Trump they needed to search for the documents that would be responsive to the subpoena and provide a certification that it had been compliant with the subpoena. Trump, in sum and substance, made the following statements, among others, as memorialized by Trump attorney number one, and we understand that to be Corcoran. Just a couple of bullet points here.
See, I didn't understand that, but I'm glad you filled in the blanks for me.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what Trump said. I don't want anybody looking. I don't want anybody looking through my boxes. I really don't. I don't want you looking through my boxes. I mean, it sounds like the dude from Stripes. You know what I mean? I see you guys touching my stuff, and I kill you.
I was thinking, like, badges. We don't got no stinking badges.
Another one.
Chill out, Francis.
Exactly.
Totally.
So as you know, if we ever get into every really heavy combat, I'll be right behind you.
Right.
Every step of the way.
Go right on ahead.
Another thing Trump said. Well, what happens if we just don't respond at all or don't play ball with them? Another one. Well, wouldn't it be better if we just told them we don't have anything here?
That's the best question, right? Because the other ones you could legitimately say, like a client can ask a lawyer, yeah, so just explain to me what the consequences of different decisions are here.
Not abiding by the
right?
subpoena, right?
But that one's like, hey, I've got a whole bunch of these things, but what if we just act like I don't? Is that going to be a problem?
That'd be better, right? If we just told them we didn't have anything?
Like, but with confidence, you know.
We don't have anything. And finally,
if you strongly object, yes. It's more believable.
Right.
Along those same lines, Trump said, well, look, isn't it better if there are no documents?
Right, that sort of see the point I just made. I mean,
if there are no documents, and again, you got to remember, Trump is not like saying we should turn everything over, that we should give it all back. He's saying, nah, just tell him that ain't here. Wasn't me.
Well, and that's
bonfire.
Right. Let's. What happens if there's a flood? Wait.
Oh, yes.
Wait.
Is he quoted as saying that?
No, but like there was a flood, and back in.
There was like a pool water flood.
Listen to me. Back in 1988, he used exactly the same excuse in another huge legal matter. Decades ago, when New York City auditors launched a probe over allegedly delinquent payments from the then Trump-owned Grand Hyatt, key documents that Trump's lease obligations required him to maintain and turn over got lost in a flood.
The pool overflowed. Who knew?
Reading from their filed paperwork, in September 1988, the hotel informed us that it could not locate 7 of the 12 monthly general ledgers because they were discarded after they were severely damaged by water when the room in which they were stored in was flooded. Like, he's doing it again. The guy has one playbook, right?
But some of the accusations were that he was keeping classified documents in a hotel room, in a bathroom,
in the shower.
It is in the shower, and then...
Okay, she needed to turn the water. Oh, sorry, they're all wet.
There's legit pictures of these huge stacks of boxes on like a ballroom bandstand. And it's literally, they were in the ballroom. And the picture that they use in the indictment was taken by a guest who like posed in front of the boxes. And they say photo redacted to protect source. That's what's underneath the photo. I was like, no kidding. That's the wrong selfie to take.
It's Jack Smith Day. She's attorney Maggie Dawn. She's seemingly happy like the rest of us. Come on back. We'll make some time for your phone calls. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Feeling pretty good.
Give up your dreams for freedom.
If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, what would you I'll kill you.
To make I don't kid.
Hey, where's the
V? It goes through air, Bob. That's always tougher than the touch. You know, the touch, you don't have to touch things, right? But the air, you just breathe the air. That's how it's passed.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy, happy Friday to us all. Happy Jack Smith Day. Last segment for us today, but you can join us, air the grievances, or celebrate a little bit with us if you're so inclined at 844-967-2789.
Dom, let's go to a couple of Maggie Dawn fans, I suspect. Rico from Rock County. Welcome, Rico. Say hi to Maggie.
Hey, Rico.
Hey, how you guys doing? How are you there? Hey. Oh, happy day. Yeah, we got the Jack. Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to say, Maggie, I am so glad you got back in on this great movement across the airwaves called Civic Media. That was the greatest thing. Not to you guys, but you don't come prepared like she does.
Hey, thanks for the call, Rico. Why are you breaking up a little bit, man?
What do you mean we don't come prepared like she does?
Facts are facts, Rico, I just got to say.
Yeah, you got that right. Hey, I just wanted to say the other day I was outside and I got these echoes of Rico coming from the south, from Georgia, I believe, Fannie Willis. And I heard a callers earlier, a couple of them, Bill and Don called in earlier. Rojo, for some reason there must be blood in the water, or we smell the stink on the pile. Rojo came up a lot today, and I'm just wondering, Maggie, what do you think that might make its way all the way up here to little Wisconsin? Because I've heard she's trying to get people to, not people, states, to join in her investigation down there.
Who calls so Ron Johnson a person, Rico?
Rico, thanks for the call, man. I guess to his point, literally the Rico charge, right?
Yeah, that's a huge part of what is lingering here. I think, you know, we have an issue that eventually you'll have to get addressed. And that's like, where's Josh Call? Hello, Josh Call. It's Democracy calling. Would you like to show up today? I mean, of all of the things and all of the moments in your entire career as a lawyer, why wouldn't you want to go to the mat on this thing? Like, if this isn't the one call to arms for someone who professes to really deeply claim to love democracy and want to be an attorney general, right? Like, why is there such profuse crickets from that office? I don't understand that. It wouldn't be an easy case. I think Fannie Willis and, you know, how many months on now are we? But, like, everyone understands.
What does imminent mean exactly? Yeah.
2 days? 2 weeks?
Honey,
2 years?
I know I'm late, but I'll be home imminently.
On these federal.
I don't think that's going to work.
On these federal charges, I got to tell you, imminently meant pretty damn quick. She's Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. We'll get to a few more callers quickly. Didn't Donald Trump, I've seen on Twitter, Donald Trump changed the law, signed it into law, increasing the penalty for mishandling documents to 5 years in prison and made it a felony. Now, I know he's been charged with worse, but he did that to basically, preemptively get ready to punish Hillary Clinton.
Yes, it was.
Wouldn't it be ironic if he was prosecuted under the very statute that he hardened? Just stick it to Hillary. Lock her up.
Yeah, it would be like Mary and Barry having raised the criminal penalties on 8-Ball.
You know, I'm glad we're keeping it all above board here. 844-967-2789. It is National Sex Day. And Jack.
And Jack Smith Day.
I just thought it would be a nice little bit of political nostalgia. Right?
Yes, thank you for that. A little throwback. Yeah.
It's very throwback.
And to the point.
Oh, perfect analogy, yes. Was it not?
In every way.
Donald Trump's hypocrisy is so legion at this point, right? But again, I want us to observe the fact that Jack Smith took the extra inches in this indictment to put in those factoids about what Donald Trump had said, specifically about those that mishandle classified information and those criminal people that give it to folks in the media.
You know, I predict eventually a video of Rudy, it's going to look like AbScam. Remember that when the federales had some fake sheik paying off all these lawmakers? You remember that in the late 70s?
Vaguely. I was just born, Mike.
We're going to see a whole series of people Rudy was trying to sell pardons to. And then he's also made videos so he could Epstein them after the fact. 844-967-2789. I'm sorry. You go, Maggie.
No. Here's a little interesting fact. First of all,
she grabs her cross-tabbed indictment of
we
the
do
former.
Have to spend a moment and talk about the fact that this was assigned to Judge Aileen Cannon, right? And this is the woman who was twice overruled by the 11th Circuit for getting things like so egregiously wrong. Here was the appeals court in one of the decisions that smacked Judge Cannon down. Quote, "This appeal requires us to consider whether the district court has jurisdiction to block the United States from using lawfully seized records in a criminal investigation." Here's how the court answered its own question. "The answer to that is no, period." The 11th Circuit ruled that Cannon improperly exercised jurisdiction and that, quote, "dismissal of the entire proceeding is immediately required."
She was accused of flouting the law by the appellate court, was she not?
Yes. Like, I worked for a conservative federal appeals court judge. We didn't write opinions like that. That's basically calling her an idiot. Like, in lawyer speak, that's what that is. So here's what. This is super wonky. There's this very interesting piece of jurisprudence in the 11th Circuit. And it doesn't say that a judge who's really screwed up super bad before on the case can be recused on that basis. But it does indicate that if a judge appears to be so biased in favor of a defendant, they can be reassigned. This case is U.S. v. Martin. And so it is unlikely, all else being equal, that Judge Cannon would want to get embarrassed under one of those rulings. So if it sticks with her, I think she's going to actually take herself off the case.
You heard it here first. That, and of course, Dom and I reported 38 indictments.
Yeah, you did.
We have it on good fact from the lady that did the homework. She's Maggie Dawn. You know her from the Maggie Dawn Show Monday through Thursday and occasionally Fridays with the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for doing so, Maggie. Don't forget our pal Pizza Box Mike. He'll be here at 7 on WMDX.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Maggie.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.